Hello, this is Paul Sullentrop, Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We're getting the Roundhouse podcast series started in the fall, and we're going to talk volleyball today. We have Associate Head Coach Sean Carter, who is entering his fifth season at Wichita State. Sean, how are you today?
I'm doing great. We just finished one of our individuals. We're excited for our upcoming weekend against Creighton and Iowa State.
Yeah, great place to start. A big weekend. I think Wichita State's 4-2. It's been a really strong start. Now you've got a chance this weekend to really do some more good as far as this team's, you know, advancing NCAA resume, all that kind of stuff. Give us a little preview of the two teams you're going to be facing this weekend.
Well, as far as Creighton and Iowa State goes, obviously two, again, top 25 teams that, you know, before the season we were expecting them to be top 25, you know, caliber teams. I'm not exactly sure where they're ranked this week, but, you know, the great thing about playing teams like that is, you know, they help you expose things that you're not as good at. You obviously have to be a little cleaner as far as the mistakes you make. You can only make less, because against really good teams, they do things really well at a high level, very efficiently. So you got to kind of match them with the things that you do. So for us, I think it gives us another set of challenges as far as they play a little bit different style than, you know, BYU and Stanford play. So to me, I'm excited to see two teams that are also, just as high level as BYU and Stanford, but, you know, throw a couple little different things at us. So we're kind of excited for that.
Iowa State is right outside the top 25. They're 5-2. I guess their big win would be they swept at Northern Iowa. Creighton is number 14. They're 4-2. They've got a win over Kentucky, win over North Carolina State, win over SMU. They lost to Northern Iowa, also lost to Southern Cal. So that kind of leads me in perfectly to the next question. These are two kind of regional teams that you will run across. Creighton, you run across them almost annually. Iowa State, you'll run across both of them, maybe an NCAA play. What's the value in playing these kind of regional, other top-level teams?
Well, I think there's value in just that you get to kind of, you know, see the level of athlete that those schools are, you know, attracting. And for me, as a big part of my job is the recruiting side, is that, you know, a lot of the times we're going up against Creighton, Iowa State for kids that we're, you know, trying to recruit. So there's an added little competitiveness there that maybe we don't have with some of the other schools, because we're not competing for kids against Stanford or BYU and those kind of teams. But Creighton, Iowa State, absolutely. You know, Kansas State, KU, those are schools that we're competing for kids in a recruiting standpoint. So you could argue that wins against schools like that, you know, could help recruiting. So that's one added benefit. But for me, it's just kind of the different styles of play. You know, I think Iowa State for sure is more willing to be a little bit aggressive with certain things they do blocking. So we have to be ready for that as far as me and my job with the offense of, you know, making adjustments to what they might do, where a team like BYU is just going to roll out their system and do that system the whole match without a ton of adjustments. You know, Iowa State might make, you know, three different adjustments within the first set. So you kind of got to be paying attention to those things, which makes it a little bit more fun. You got to be a little bit more active and trying to, you know, play the little chess cat and mouse game with the, you know, the other coaching staff, and hopefully we can execute what we're trying to do better than they can.
You mentioned the recruiting. You would have coached 3 years recruiting to the Missouri Valley Conference. Now you're entering your second season recruiting in the American Athletic Conference. What's the difference? How's that changed?
I think it's kind of opened up, you know, maybe even broader areas. We now have a kid from Florida, you know that we have committed in 2019. We got two kids from Wisconsin. I mean, you would think maybe the Valley would have brought more Wisconsin kids here, just because you're up in, you know, that region a little bit more than we are now. But it just seems to be that way. It just seems to me, at least, that recruits are more known as far as the schools that are now in the American Athletic Conference. They just seem to be more household names. So that helps. We have a kid come from Dallas, and she's like, oh, you're in a great conference. I have four kids that are going to other AAC schools. So I think that kind of helps, is just kids seem to be more known of the schools that are in the conference, maybe more so than the Missouri Valley.
The overall schedule, Wichita State always schedules difficulty. It's something that Chris Lamb is really proud of, really believes in. It's, you know, it's really worked for him, a ton of at-large bids. So you've played Stanford and BYU. You've played four other good teams. How has this team reacted to this kind of tough schedule?
I think superbly. You're always going to wonder, you know, what a young team is going to do as far as, are they going to be nervous? Are they going to have jitters? Are they going to attack the opportunity? And I think we absolutely attacked it, especially going back and watching film over again. I think, you know, we all were a little bummed out about, obviously, our performance against BYU, but up until 16-16, I mean, every game was pretty darn close, and it was back and forth, back and forth. You know, offensively, we got to figure out how to get out of one rotation, or it seems to be one rotation where we're getting stuck a little bit too much, so we're going to address that. But, you know, back and forth, we're right there with Stanford the whole way, and we're right there with BYU the whole way until 1-3-4 point run, and then that's the separation. So, you know, we've been chatting with the girls is like, you just got to sustain. So those teams are just going to try to be saying to their teams as far as you just got to hang on. They can't sustain this for that long. And we just got to learn to sustain that level of play and execution throughout an entire set. Because right now, if the sets went to 15-18, you know, we'd be winning some of those sets. But, you know, obviously that doesn't happen. The set goes to 25 points and we got to sustain longer.
Is there any point during the scheduling process where you need to remind Chris that you're losing six seniors and maybe there's a temptation to pull back a little bit?
No, I've totally bought in to you just – and you do the math and you do – I mean, I think you're going to learn what your kids have when you put them up against those teams, because the best part of playing great teams is, one, they don't make a lot of mistakes and they expose things that you really need to be better at. Immediately, it's just like they put a highlighter on things that this has to happen. And I think we've, as a staff, haven't been as motivated, you know, from a watching video standpoint. I'm watching teams from all around the country to figure out, you know, things that are working that we saw BYU doing and go, man, that, you know, they execute that thing at a really high level. So I'm doing more research on, okay, maybe we need to implement some of that stuff. So for me, I mean, we're just way more eager of learning and addressing things, where I think if you play some teams, even if it's really competitive, if they don't expose those things, you never really knew you had the problem until, you know, you run up against a team like that. And that's part of the reason, you know, we're surprised a little bit when we run into those Missouris in the, you know, second round of the tournament. You know, we want to play more teams like that, so when we get to the end of the year, we have a system and a style, and our girls are just ready for that opportunity and know that they've faced it and they know that they can, you know, overcome the opponent on the other side.
BYU is number three in the AVCA poll, Stanford number four, so you face two teams that are national championship contenders. What's it like in the locker room before you're getting ready to play a Stanford?
I mean, I don't know, to be honest. I'm not in the locker room all that much before the match. The girls, for the most part, just knowing where it's been, you know, the last few years, it's, you know, pretty loose, and there's a lot of excitement and energy. But I think the older kids and the kids that have been here a little while do a really good job of, you know, honing in as far as the focus and the things that they need to be ready to do. They don't seem to kind of get too high or too low or too amped up or, you know, not enough. To me, it's just that we have some young kids that are darn competitive and aren't backing down, which is great. We just need to kind of learn to hone them in a bit so we can make a little bit less errors. But as far as them attacking the opportunity, is we couldn't ask for more.
This team has been strong defensively to this point. Take us through that. Why has this team played so well on that aspect?
Well, effort's always going to be tied into defense. So I think we've been getting, you know, pretty good effort. I have to be honest. I think there's more to give for us as far as going after volleyballs. That, you know, I think that was one difference that I saw between BYU and Stanford. They were making some defensive plays at a higher level and keeping their team in rallies longer and then able to finish them from a scoring standpoint, where we were getting the same dig opportunities, in my opinion, which were actually easier dig opportunities, and missing them when they were taking even harder hit balls that we had put at their diggers, and they were able to not only dig them up but convert them into points. So us learning to be better at that and learning that, you know, that's the level of what's coming back. You know, but really good teams bring the ball back on your side of the net more often than you're used to seeing. So for that, it just makes the girls focus, hone in on every little detail that they have to be sharp on, you know, throughout an entirety of a match. So I think that's what exposed us most. But the fact of us doing some things with Georgia to get the ball on her platform more often is really the biggest change, because when we have a player that's that elite, you know, if you have the best running back in the country, you know, you're probably going to hand the ball off to him a lot. So that's all we're trying to do, is get more balls hit at Georgia so she has more opportunities to dig the ball, because she controls it better than anybody we have. So, you know, why not give it to her more?
Yeah, Georgia Chivita, libero, off to a great start. Tell us a little bit about, talk us through the progress she's made in her time here at Wichita State.
I mean, she's always a competitive person. Nobody has a higher expectation for herself than Georgia. Sometimes it's almost too high of an expectation. But, you know, I would rather take that any day over a kid who doesn't hold himself to as high of a standard. I think for her, the biggest thing is kind of becoming more of a leader for the team, as far as just, you know, she kind of just did her job and did all the things that she did well, and now we're putting more on her. And I think how she's responded to that has been really good. She's controlling her emotions, you know, even better than she has the past 2 years, which I think is really important for our young team. And she's absolutely having to pass a ton of area of the court, and she's doing it at a very high percentage and a high level, which is, you know, something that people just don't see on the stat sheet, but that stuff is really, really important.
Take us through the setting position and how that's going.
I think for us, the biggest thing is, you know, I watched video with our setters yesterday, and I think from now till the end of the year, there's going to be, you know, three different girls as far as where they started to where they finished. I think a lot of it is training them into the decisions we want them to make. When this scenario happens, we want you to go here with the volleyball, because we have 5 years with Emily Hebert. So, you know, I even statted a match from last year, and Emily didn't ever make, in 150 sets, never made one bad decision and set the ball to a bad location, not once. Where, you know, our setters right now are probably 30% of the time, 20% of the time, making a decision that we rather them make some other decision. But that's just getting them in front of the video and teaching them about the scenarios that we're trying to create, and they're going to get better at that. And it's the more time we spend, they will learn that more. Callie's going to get it. She is very motivated in learning our system. Video helps her, so we're going to be doing more of that. And as we go, and as the hitters develop the relationship between hitter and setter, it's only going to get better. And as our setters get a little bit better, I really believe our team gets a lot better. So that's the exciting and encouraging part for me.
Are there some players who learn better from watching video as opposed to in practice? How do you kind of figure that out as a coach, and how do you teach to that?
Yeah, I think some kids are like repetition athletes. I think Emma Wright, you know, the more you're giving her her reps as far as the routes that she's going to have to run, she gets really, really good at that, and she kind of just needs her time. I would say Callie seems to be, you know, a cerebral player. I think she's a player that wants to understand, you know, why you're doing something, as opposed to just being told, hey, do this. She wants to understand why. And the more we watch video, the more she understands. And I think it's the more she's willing to pull the trigger on those decisions. So I think that really helps her. It's kind of just figuring out each player. But for sure, for the setters, going through and showing them that stuff, I think even happened. Even in our practice yesterday, I thought we did a better job of making the decisions that we wanted them to make.
Let's wrap up with Megan Taflinger, outside hitter. She redshirted last year, has moved into a pretty prominent role so far this year. Tell us a little bit about her.
My favorite thing about Megan is she's just always locked in. She wants to be good. She wants to be competitive. I mean, you can get on her, you can push her. She likes that because she knows it's best for her. That's my favorite thing. But the most exciting part is we did stats on where we are with through the schedule so far, and then where your statistics would rank amongst the Valley teams last year. And the exciting part is, as a pin attacker, with Megan Taflinger's kill percentage right now, she would have had the highest kill percentage of any pin player in last year's American Athletic Conference, which at 40% kills as a pin player is a very good number, and it's something to be really excited about, especially against the competition that we put her up against. So that's the most exciting part. But for Megan, we're just teaching her every day the decision she has to make, because she's at 20% errors, and that's just way too high for a pin attacker for us. But that's going to take time. It's just her learning to pull the trigger on, hey, I need to go for this one, or hey, this is one I need to be safe and put the ball here and live to fight another day. And as she does that, her kill percentage is only going to go higher, which is the crazy part, but that error percentage is really going to come down, and we're going to have something really, really special.
Shocker Volleyball, big weekend. They play Iowa State on Saturday in Omaha. Sunday they play Creighton. The Blue Jays will play in Nebraska on Thursday. So it will be, this is a tough stretch, emotional stretch for the Blue Jays. It'll be interesting to see how they come out of that. Wichita State plays Creighton on Sunday. Sean, thanks for your time.
Thank you.